This is Music Respawn at GDC, and I'm Kate Remington. I'm talking with Olivier de Riviere, and it's wonderful to have a chance to talk with you because your music is so unusual. So thanks so much for spending some time to talk about it.
Thank you for having me. I'm very glad.
You came at game composition, well, it's not a typical way, but you did spend time with the Boston Symphony Orchestra, went to the Berklee School, and at this point, you've like moved so far beyond traditional orchestral music and stuff. But what was the takeaway from working with the Boston Symphony?
Well, the thing is, what I always wanted to do is work with the best, not because I consider my music that deserves it, but because I think that they can push me, write, you know, a better music. And of course, when they perform my music, it's always better if the performer are one of the best in the world. So yeah, so I always try to get the best people, and you know, just for get even, it's the Brussels Philharmonic, but for my next game, it's contemporary music, and it's with Paris Contemporary Orchestra, you know. So it's every time I try to get those great musicians, and also for players to listen to actual great musicians, to be like so sensitive about, oh, why is this so different, you know, from this other game that was sample-based, you know? And, you know, it's mostly for this.
Well, a live orchestra just gives a completely different sound than listening to samples. And I'm sure there are real challenges with that, too, because you've got 15 or 20 or 30 people with a chamber orchestra or a full orchestra, every one of them thinking about things in maybe a slightly different way. But it really adds a live quality to the music.
Yes, it does. However, what I like to do is to, because we're in 2017 now, I think that we have to move on and take those recording, live recording, and sort of play with them in such ways that it's not like, you know, generally what we call is hybrid music, like you have electronic on the side and live orchestra on the other side. And I started doing this sort of, let's say, mixture between post-processing and live orchestra on Remember Me, you know, to create some new layers and very more I'd say modern, okay? And I think this is the path that I want to go with, you know, and for GetEven, I'd say that it's different. I'm not doing the same sort of treatment than for Remember Me, because I don't like to do the same thing twice. But some ways, you know, I'm doing, you know, crazy things. You'll see.
I did see. I was in your session.
Here, because you haven't, I can make you listen. I mean, I can let you listen to some of the score. You'll see. It's very unique.
One of the things that really struck me in your session was the way you incorporated your music and tones from actual sounds in the game, like the buzzing of the lights and closing doors and things like that. And what was so interesting was the way you kind of thought about that whole process from being on a plane and listening to the kind of white noise cut in and out. And does that happen all the time in real life? Do you hear sounds and you think, well, there's got to be a way I can use this?
Well, the thing is, as I knew that GetEven was supposed to be in VR, although it's not a VR game, but the world is in VR, I needed to sort of start fresh and to sort of understand what was the specific aspect of you know, being in VR. And the main aspect is immersion, you know. And so what is the best VR in the world? Well, it's actual life. You have a world around you and you have sound all over the place. So to create something that was, let's say, realistic, yet that could become musical, was the real challenge. So it was a long, long process of, you know, fail and retry, and that led me finally to what GetEven is.
It's really incredible because there are moments in the game where you don't know for sure, is this really part of the score? Is this the sound design? And I think what's so incredible about that is the music doesn't interrupt the special moments in the game.
Yes, that's the whole point. I really think that scoring a game should be completely different than scoring a movie. I really don't like that idea that music can be used, you know, on a, you know, movie or, you know, in such ways that it's still music. No, I'm much more defending the idea that music for games is music, you know, dedicated for games. And what is video games? And that's the whole point of the talk. It's real-time, you know, generated components. That's a video game. It's happening in real time. And so we want to do that with music as well. Now the technology is, let's say, advanced enough to go back to the roots of video games. Because, mind you, if I remind you that Mario, the very first, was all real-time generated. You know, there was no orchestra, no nothing. And they were using tempo, they were using, you know, change of cues depending on the gameplay and all of that. So it was happening already there. Yet when the technology came in with the CD and we could record orchestras, we lost that. I was happy as a composer and depressed as a gamer. You know, it was like, oh my God, so now it's beautiful, but it's not connected anymore. And up to recently, maybe 10 years ago, recent, we can go back to the roots of video games. And nowadays, it's even closer to what I would call freedom of creativity. We can do whatever we want. Now, it's a different approach, different breed of composers, different type. And I'm pretty sure that most composers that are now scoring games won't make the step.
Yeah, well, it's got to be challenging, and it's got to be a risk for the studio, too, that's making the game, because there's a lot to be said for, you know, staying in your comfort level and making a game that with a formula that has been proven to be successful. And yet we all know as gamers that we want new experiences too.
Yes. And I was like, okay, you want to play safe, secure. I totally get it. You will do it. And I won't. And I will go on those, let's say, medium budget, you know, but at least we have full control of creativity and we can express however we want music to be expressed. Finally, and this is important, is the reception from the press is so big, so unexpected, that I feel that we are on the right path.
Well, it's nice to get that kind of, I guess, verification that people are really behind you and they kind of get what you're trying to do, even though we haven't really at this point seen a whole lot from the game. But yeah. But what's so interesting about it, too, is that it must be great to work for a studio where you can try a lot of stuff and you can fail and make all these different attempts before you really hit on something.
Yes. And the one thing that is surprising, and that might be surprising for a lot of people, when I did Assassin's Creed Freedom Cry, they let me do whatever I wanted to. It's not that Ubisoft or those big publishers with those big games don't want you to do it. It's just that composers don't know they can do it as well, you know? So it's a sort of a struggle. I'm not saying that they will go for craziness as in Get Even for an Assassin's Creed game, but at least they will let you do some crazy things, little crazy, you know, but not as crazy as Get Even. This is why I left, you know, this AAA, but it's the developers, what they want as well is to be and feel secured, okay? So it's a partnership.
Well, one thing that really struck me in your talk after listening to these sounds that were generated from the world of the game and the beats and the clock ticking, when we finally do hear little snippets on the radio or the strings or piano, that wonderful, beautiful, tragic theme, it's like, oh, it's a relief because it's a very familiar sound.
Yes, that's the whole point. It's I'm a composer. I want to do music. I don't want to be a sound designer. It's not that. And music can be, I mean, I'm listening a lot to, you know, electronic music. This is what I listen to. I also listen to classical and I love it. But electronic music is nowadays music, you know. It's, and when I say electronic music, it's not dance or anything like this. It's like those guys like Aphex Twin, Kettle, I don't know, Snare, Venetian Snare. A lot of people are trying to express music in different ways, and they're using sounds that are not actual sounds, okay? And me, what I try to do with this game, Get Even, is to compose music in a traditional way. So I have an orchestra, I have this soloist, and I have all of this, and I build around this as a composer with the in-game object sound. But I still write music. It's music.
What kind of psychological toll does it take on you to be working on music for a game that is just so, so very, very dark?
Well, I've been doing, you know, Tangled for Disney, and Also, I did some, you know, indie games, very happy games, and now I'm back to dark, you know, even darker now with Vampire. But the thing is, forget even the one thing that is completely different from most games, maybe not Assassin's Creed, because Assassin's Creed was about slavery, is, yeah, maturity. The game itself in Get Even is not about saving the world. It's not about, you know, I don't know, killing people or anything like this. It's a very tragic story, family story, that ends up very bad. And it's a story that could be, you know, in written for a book or a movie or whatever. You know, the story itself can be read, and it's compelling and great. And that's why I'm very happy, because as a composer in video games industry, it's difficult to find mature games. You know, mostly it's about, you know what I mean. So that's why I signed up for this game. I turned down so many options, so many opportunities. My agent was like, no, don't do this, to make that game. Because I felt that it's an artistic game, you know, author. There is like there is a soul behind it. This is what I like.
Yeah, I can just tell after seeing the snippets that it is going to be just a heartbreaker. And how much time do you spend experimenting with the sounds before you're ready to really implement them and say, yep, they're ready to go in the game now?
Well, I will answer this question in reverse. Like, it took me a month to write the score, so because I didn't have much time, so to write the whole strings and the, you know, piano, it was just a month. And then it took me 8 months to make the whole system work and everything connected with the game. So it's a commitment, and it's something that I totally understand some people will never do, but me, I'm a gamer and I want new experiences, and since I don't have them, I need to make them. So I do them in hope that people will like them.
Well, I think for a lot of composers, they don't have the luxury of that time either, because they've got pressure from the studio and that kind of thing. But it must be nice to be able to spend that amount of time really crafting something that you're proud of.
Well, I think there is a misunderstanding here, because you're right, they don't have the time because they don't want to take it. That's different. Usually, you know, the way composers are seen in this industry is that they are providers. They provide music, okay? And people will get the music, be very happy, put that into their game, do a wonderful job integrating the music inside the game, you know, and it will work perfectly and everybody will be happy. So why would you change that, okay? Me, I'm like, okay, guys, it's working, but it's working in ways that it feels weak from the vision that I have, like what could be done. And it feels so frustrating as a gamer, once again, and as a creator also, to have all those tools, all these those possibilities, and to see that nobody does anything. It feels bad, you know, because you feel like, oh my god, we're lazy.
That's a really interesting way of looking at it. And
it is.
Yeah,
trust me, it is. It's like, listen, this is it's personal, I can, like, you can argue, people can disagree, I agree, they can disagree, but movies in the early ages, they didn't have scores, they didn't have, like, tailoring, like, the whole, you know, like, John Williams style, like, everything will be right on the spot, you know, no, it was, like, music taken from, I don't know, Stravinsky, Tchaikovsky sometimes, or, you know, no music at all, you know, and one day some guy came in and said, oh, you know what, I can write, depending on the movie, why, you know, I need this music and it's working perfectly. Well, you know, it's going to be slightly different if I score. Okay, let's try it. And it took, I don't know how many years, but it took some time, you know, up to the moment that now it feels natural to say, yeah, I need a film score, not just a soundtrack, you know, that I buy. It still happened, but so it's the same with games. I think right now we're doing this because it's the way we do things, but little by little, I can hear, you know, here and there, I can see people be like, okay, we want to move on, it's time, what can we do?
Yeah, I've noticed that too, and especially with the composers that I've talked with who aren't willing to settle for just using the same old orchestral score or that kind of thing. And it must be a really exciting time to be a game composer.
It is exciting, but once again, it's not about the music. It's not about the music. It's about the music for the game, which is, I know, you know, most composers, I don't want to blame anybody, all right? But most composers will never talk about, interactive music. They will say, yes, I do interactive music. I will provide, you know, stems. I will provide. Some of them will do some wise session. I know that, you know, and it's already a very good step up. But overall, you know, it's so disconnected from what can be achieved and what, listen, I wouldn't be here if my music wouldn't work good within games, because I've never made any hit games. Yet, a lot of people are asking me to score their games, you know? So there is something here. Okay, my music may be good. I don't know. I don't want to judge that. But also there is something that people understand. It's like there is something more. And this is what I want to advertise, not to for me, but for people. And to be like, let's make this all together. But it's difficult.
Well, clearly it is, because you went through some of the process in your session. And what you pointed out is that music is kind of like falling behind a little bit, because there have been so many developments with other aspects of games, with lighting and AI and that sort of thing. And so, yeah, it definitely seems like the time is right for music to, you know, step forward. So.
Yes, the idea that it's all in real time, and the fact that AI, lights, physics, all of that was before sort of, you know, let's say passive, dead, you know, is now completely alive and in real time. Why don't we do this with music? You know, and it will happen in the next 10 or maybe 20 years that the technology will be advanced enough to have, like, I'm sorry, orchestra, I'm sorry, people, but to have like sample based orchestra that will sound so good in real time that we can listen. It's like, oh, I can generate my own music in real time. I know some people will be like, no, I want to be in control of everything. And I would be, it's not music for games. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I understand what you're saying, but it's, don't do music for games then.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's so, and there is no one path, all right? They can still do whatever they want, okay? But I would like to have more people trying new stuff.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I imagine there are plenty of composers who were at your session who were really, really inspired. And yeah, but Olivier, thank you so much for spending some time to talk about it.
Thank you for your interest. See you after the release.